Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Chiefs.
Have you had any conversations about coming back with the Chiefs maybe? Is that still a possibility?
Yeah, it's still a possibility. Very, very likely possibility to happen. We still in talks, and we just got to see if everything makes sense. You know, they signed Hollywood, so that's a great addition. So I'm just trying to see what they go with it and what they want to do. So whatever Veach feel like, good, and, you know, if it makes sense, yeah, definitely.
That was part of my conversation with Super Bowl hero Mecole Hardman yesterday. Nate, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
The Jet.
Crazy show today. Mike Boddicker's agreed to shoot either a vegetable or fruit with a bow and arrow off the top of Nate's head for charity. And we found out that Nate is also known as Foggy Thoughts on Twitter. So
not true.
Unbelievable.
Incorrect.
Now we'll talk to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well, Stephen. I thought all along Nate was pretty Ricky 213.
Right, right.
He's not.
Well, you know, that was Jake, actually.
I've got multiple burners, Matt, you know.
So I don't know if you heard, I asked Mecole Hardman if he's coming back, and he said he's open to it. Is there still a spot for Mecole Hardman, or is he going to leave again?
Yeah, I mean, Brett Veach has said they're open to it, too.
Veach.
So I think, you know, it's possible. You know, you start to think about what spots are available, though. It's going to be more of a competition thing. I mean, even if Mecole came back, I'm not sure it's a 100% guarantee that he would make the roster, since obviously they've signed Hollywood. You know, even if they brought Mecole back, there's still a chance they might sign another free agent receiver. Obviously, you know, it's always a possibility might add one through the draft, and then you throw that in with what they've got already. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. Once again, they would like to have a competitive off-season program and training camp with as many receivers as they think that they can get their hands on. But at some point, you do run out of mouths to feed, you know, and we saw that last year.
All right, let's go through this L'Jarius Sneed situation. So there's been Indianapolis Colt beat reporters with differing reports and arguing over whether or not the Chiefs and the Colts have had discussions, were close on a deal. Adam Schefter says they never talked. Diana Rossini said they did talk. And so someone's being lied to. People are being lied to about this. And then early this morning, in the 4 o'clock hour in the a.m., I'm scrolling through the Twitter, and I see Connor Christofferson tweet out a couple of points about Sneed, saying Sneed is sticking to his asking price of $22-plus million a year because he wants to be the highest-paid corner in the league. And the Chiefs and at least one team had agreed to a trade, but Sneed turned down an offer for 4 years, $80 million. And someone asked, source? And Matt Verderame said, me. So he's the one reporting that news. And then in the 4 o'clock hour this morning, L'Jarius Sneed retweeted it and said, on my way to work out, and I see lies. And that tweet lasted for about an hour, because by the time I got here and started the show, that tweet by L'Jarius Sneed was deleted. And so I don't know who's telling the truth about what. And so what the hell's going on right now with the Chiefs and Sneed and the franchise tag and the Colts and offers and demands and everything else? I don't get it. What's happening?
Yeah, this is going to make a heck of a story once it's all said and done, and we'll get the details out and everything. You're right. I mean, what we know versus what we believe is a vast gulf right now. I mean, what do we know? Well, we know that L'Jarius Sneed's been tagged. We know that the Chiefs, in theory, have said they want him back. He is obviously, he's told you, he said he wants to be back in KC, but the Chiefs are letting him shop around, and that's really it. Then you know, you start getting the narratives that come into play. And there's no doubt we're getting a lot of competing narratives about what's going on. We have some assumptions that are based on an informed speculation, but the amount of information that we actually have that, you know, tagged to, hey, this person is willing to put this on the record and say this is just not there right now. And, you know, and you get a lot of what I call, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi talk. Everything is true from a certain point of view. I mean, if Adam Schefter talked to Brett Veach and said, hey, if you talk to the Colts, maybe he hasn't. That doesn't mean that, you know, Chris Shea and other people in the front office haven't talked to the Colts about a deal, or they haven't talked to L'Jarius Sneed's agent. Maybe he's been the go-between. A lot of things can be true and that sound contradictive, but, you know, at the end, sometimes are true. I don't know what's going on. I mean, obviously, what we've been led to believe at this point, and the assumption is that what you've said right there, that L'Jarius wants to be the highest-paid corner in the league. That is, I don't believe, going to happen. With his age and with the knee concerns, I just don't think that offer is out there. I could be surprised. Maybe a team with a ton of salary cap room, you know, Washington and Tennessee or a couple of those teams still have a lot of room. Maybe they'll come through and throw a lot of money at him. I'm just not sure about that. I was concerned all along that he's just not going to get that kind of money. Even Jalen Johnson money, I think, is going to be tough because, again, you know, he's like almost 2.5 years older than him.
Mm.
And it's a sticky situation for L'Jarius. And on top of that, the compensation that the Chiefs might get for him in a trade seems to be coming down, too.
You're making Nate sad.
it's a weird situation.
I mean, it's really weird, Matt. I mean, like, respected journalists are reporting completely opposite things. What do you think is realistic for him to look for in a contract?
You know, that's I think, the really tricky thing. I mean, when I was at the Combine, you know, numbers between like $14 to $16 million a year were kind of being bantered about as being a good price for L'Jarius. And some of this comes back to, you know, what I've talked about before, which is that L'Jarius is absolutely more valued in Kansas City than he has been around the league. You know, you see that respect level. I mean, you know, even Trent McDuffie, he gets the Pro Bowl nod as a slot corner, and L'Jarius hasn't gotten up to that level yet of respect around the league. There's still some questions. I mean, hey, his PFF grades have been good, but they're not the top of the league. I mean, I feel like he's an underrated corner. I feel like he's one of the best corners in the league because I've seen him play. You know, and certainly his style, his aggressiveness, I think, is one of those reasons why. But these, again, are another reason why, you know, around the league, there's concerns. You know, the concerns that his aggressive play is going to lead to injuries. There's concerns about that knee situation. There's concerns about him being 27 and paying a corner into his late 20s, especially when, you know, you look at some really, really good corners around the league. And, you know, Jalen Ramsey's 28. And I think a lot of people would agree with the assessment that he's not the player he used to be. So it's when you factor all of that in together, it really creates a weird situation. So what is his market value? I mean, it's one of those situations where all it's going to take is one team to finally decide to give him the money because they feel like that they need a corner of his caliber. I don't think it's going to be $22 million. I doubt it's going to be $20 million. I think he would have a really hard time resetting the market. So to me, $18 million. I would probably take right now for the L'Jarius Sneed for a 3 or 4 year deal and cash it.
Matt Derrick is our guest. Matt, Jake wants to know if you want to play a game real quick.
I would love to play a game.
Okay. I have the updated list of free agents. I say the free agent, and then Matt, first you go, and then if Nate and Jake, you can either say yes or no as to whether the Chiefs should be or are interested in this free agent.
All right, let's do
it. We've got a few here, all right? Wide receivers. And if you think it's unreasonable, whatever, that's okay. Tyler Boyd.
I would be interested. I've been told that the Chiefs checked on his price, but at this point, there's not any interest. And I would see why, just because of his age and I'm just not sure how productive he'd be in Kansas City.
Nate, Jake, anything?
I'll pass.
Jake.
I don't think they can afford him.
But you'd be interested.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Michael Thomas, Matt Derrick.
That's a hard pass for me. His best days are behind him.
Nate Jake.
I'm with Matt.
Nope.
Michael Gallup.
I am interested at the right price.
Mm-hmm. Nate or Jake?
More of a canter than a Gallup right now. For
Come
me.
On. That's very good. Come on, Jake. Got to be quick. Come
no,
on, Jake.
No, no, no.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Fits into another one of those, probably not technically a hard pass, but a pass because his best days are behind him.
Nope. Uh-uh.
I say no, but I think the Chiefs are interested in him.
DJ Chark.
I'm 50-50, but I would probably say pass unless it's a very, very cheap deal.
Nate.
Oh, you know me. Buddy.
Nate loves him.
He's been on my list all along. Let's go.
Jake.
No. Well, just for that reason.
Okay. Here's a guy that I kind of like. Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, I'd be interested at the right price.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
Jacob.
Yes, sir.
I want the city of Kansas City to corner the market on Hunter Renfrow's.
Have you heard they're interested in Quez Watkins?
I haven't heard that, but that's the thing. I think the Chiefs have probably checked in on every wide receiver out
right.
there.
Anyway, no. Mecole Hardman.
Hey, reliable, steady hand. I mean, if all else fails, you always got Mecole around.
Yeah. If it's a cheap deal, sure.
Jakob.
Okay. Nah. I think it'd be nice to see Mecole right off in the sunset.
A man that the Chiefs have been interested in a couple of times in the past, Josh Reynolds.
It's hard to believe it. Josh Reynolds is still out there.
Right.
Again, I'd be interested at the right price. And he's fallen through the cracks, so maybe eventually he will settle for below market rate. But, yeah, it would have to be less than what he's been asking for.
They've expressed interest in the past, so maybe.
I like Josh Reynolds.
Okay. Nate?
Sure.
J.K. Dobbins.
I've been pretty big on this one. I would take him. I mean, once again, it'd have to be a prove it deal. But that guy with Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield, wow, that would be that'd be a pairing.
It's a punishing duo right there. Yeah, if it's cheap and yeah.
Yeah, I'd sign up for 8 weeks of him.
All right,
because he's not staying healthy.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Probably once again, you know, best days behind him.
Sherman Dieter said that Dave Tobe would
love
run cross country to get him in Kansas City.
That's the only reason I would consider bringing him in for special.
Do you need another reason?
Cam Akers?
No.
No.
I like Patterson, though.
Zeke Elliott?
No.
Come in and let him eat. Let him eat.
Doesn't look like there's a lot left in the tank there.
No. Me or him?
How much does Cordarrelle Patterson have left in the tank at 33?
I don't know. Okay, here's this is good. I'm just spitballing here. You can shoot me down if you want. David Bakhtiari has said that he's diligently rehabbing and plans to play in the 2024 season. He has not played much football in the past couple of years, but in the rare event that he's healthy, he's an all-pro level tackle. Would you even kick the tires on him?
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So would I.
But it would have to be like we're talking Donovan Smith kind of even level contract, even maybe less than that. I'd probably pay him like a $3 million base and have a ton of incentives on a per-game basis. Because, yeah, I wouldn't want to risk a lot of money on that body.
Right. Two-time first-team All-Pro, three-time second-team All-Pro. He'll turn 33 soon. But, I mean, who else is there at that level? Is there another left tackle in free agency that makes sense? Tell me.
There's really not. I mean, and you know, and the Chiefs all along were going in with the idea that they weren't going to spend, like, starter money at left tackle. If they were going to bring anybody in, it was going to be competition. So your only other alternatives are just to bring in some journeyman players who maybe haven't done it before. There's a few maybe players who just are younger who just haven't accomplished anything yet. But Bakhtiari is the only one you could really bring in that you could say would be, for this team at least, an immediate starter.
I mean, it would be an absolute gamble, but I think the upside would be worth taking a minimal and a guaranteed investment that's heavily incentive laden, right?
Yeah.
And even if you just got through the regular season with him and Wanye Morris or whatever, and got him right for the playoffs, but I mean, again, so just throwing it out there. Finally, who will be the backup quarterback to Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs, please?
Really great question. I mean,
thank you.
I would assume at this point, and I guess we're not completely there yet because it's still fairly early, but I would think that, you know, you'd want your backup quarterback to at least start having their head in the playbook, even if they're not going to be on the field with the team until probably May. But, you know, hey, Blaine hasn't seen any progress yet, but I'm still assuming that the most likely scenario is that Blaine Gabbert is the backup. If not, I mean, the one possibility that I've heard is, and certainly Bert Leach talked a little bit about the combine with this, was, you know, the Chiefs drafting a developmental quarterback. And I would not be opposed if they went into a season with the draft pick quarterback and Chris Oladokun as their backup. I mean, I'm probably a bigger fan of Oladokun than most people, so that's probably part of it right there. Be away from the Chiefs to go cheap. And if they got a developmental athletic quarterback with somebody that, you know, kind of a Taysom Hill kind of a player, somebody that they could put on the field that could do some quarterback sneaks and even, you know, put two quarterbacks on the field because you see them want to do it whenever they run Wildcat and then they put Mahomes out at receiver. I mean, they want to do it, but I think Andy Reid's got a lot of plays that he could pull out with napkins on it that if you put two quarterbacks on the field, and I know how everybody hates taking the ball out of Mahomes' hand, but you gotta let Andy Reid be Andy Reid.
Jake wants Andy Reid to put Carson Wentz back together again, so you know that could be fun.
Yeah, it could be fun.
Or not. Either way, we've got lots to look forward to. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, thank you so much for your time, sir. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, gang. Take care, everybody.
Ryan Tannehill.
Too much money.
Well, yeah, he's really got a lot of suitors right now, doesn't he? Maybe you just want to come sit down for a while, rest your tired bones, and win a ring.
I would welcome him as a backup.
Tannehill, Wentz, Gabbert.
I'd rather have Tannehill than Gabbert.
Oh, that was a shot right at you.
Yep.
We got Jake's in a bad mental space right now.
Well, just wait till you see the guests I booked the rest of the week. See what kind of mental state he's in then, huh? Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. It's Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. And it's almost time for NAIA Championship Basketball at a Municipal Auditorium. You've heard me talking about it for the last couple of weeks. And we have the NAIA Director of Championships, Austin Bennett, on the show to talk about the tournament with us. Austin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing very well. You ready to roll? Tell everyone the upcoming schedule and what they need to know about the return of the NAIA Men's Basketball Championship here in Kansas City.
Yeah, we're back here for year number 86, the 86th annual NAIA Men's Basketball Championship. I believe it's number 75 in Kansas City, dating all the way back to 1937. So really excited for that. And we tip off tomorrow, Thursday, March 21st, with our round of 16. And we play all the way to our championship on Tuesday the 26th at 7 p.m. So really exciting times. We're here at Municipal now, dressing the arena, getting it all ready to go, and teams have arrived, and so we're getting close to tipping the ball off.
And there's a lot of exciting events going on along with the basketball, and as I've mentioned, 15 games over the course of 5 days. For all the information you need for tickets and championship information, go to NAIAHoops.com. but there's a salute to Heroes Day, and that's a cool thing. You always do some great theme nights in conjunction with the tournament. So tell us about some of the other things you have going on along with the tournament down at Municipal.
Yeah, so tomorrow and Friday, we kind of kick off our events with our Teaming Up for Character events. So we bring in elementary age and middle school age boys and girls from around the city to partake in Champions of Character curriculum, and then also have a little bit of fun with our teams and doing basketball drills and interactions and things like that. And then on Saturday, like you mentioned, our Salute to Heroes Day presented by Branson CBB. It's been great for us the last handful of years to be able to recognize frontline workers, military, police, firefighters, doctors, nurses. You know, that word, that kind of hero got changed a little bit about 4 years ago with COVID. So we're honored to provide a place to recognize them. And it just brings great awareness to the tournament, brings great awareness about the cool things going on around the city. And so we're excited to continue to have that. And then when we get into our semifinals night and championship night, those are events in themselves. And so a lot of cool things going on outside of the basketball. And we're just really excited to be starting here tomorrow.
I just want to give a shout out to our broadcast of the tournament as well, because the color analyst for these games is an old friend of mine named Steve Wallace, who used to be on the staff for the University of Kansas women's basketball team back when I did play-by-play there, and he's a coach in the area now as well. The broadcasts have been good. I mean, you guys, this is exciting stuff. I just want to give a shout out to him. Anything else you want to say about the broadcast for the tournament?
Yeah, really excited to have them on both the radio broadcast on the championship, but also doing the semifinals on the NAI Network. And then, of course, we got Coach Z and Neil Harwell doing our championship on ESPN3. And then a little nugget that was cool to find out this year is the gentleman, Nate Goddard, that does our games throughout the tournament, actually broadcast in the first four last night for Westwood One on Sirius. So
that's awesome.
He's climbing the ranks, so it's really cool. And it's a great feeling knowing that you have such – professional broadcasters to not only call your games, but to get the NAI message out. So
I know there's a Missouri team. Evangel has advanced to the round of 16. But if you would, maybe give us a couple of teams that fans should try to make sure to get down there to watch. It's always great action. And Nate can elaborate on this here in a little bit. There's some great talent that'll be on display down at Municipal. But maybe give us a highlight of a couple of teams that will be really exciting to watch for fans that want to see the NAIA championship.
Yeah, so this past weekend in our first and second rounds, we actually had quite a bit of chaos. With some double-digit seeds moving on to come to Kansas City. And Evangel was one of those. They're a 15 seed in their bracket. They upset the number two team, and then they beat Baker, a local team, number 10, down in Texas in the first and second round. So we'll have Evangel, a couple Iowa schools, Morningside University and Northwestern College will be coming down and bring great crowds. We're excited to have them. And for any of those that know kind of small college sports, they recruit the Kansas City area a lot in a lot of sports. So that'll be great. Langston University out of Oklahoma, one of our HBCUs will be back, and they always bring a great crowd, and traditionally they're banned as well, so that brings a cool aspect to it as well. So, and then also in our field is the number one team in the country this year, Grace College out of Indiana, and then our returning defending national champion, College of Idaho, is back to defend their title.
I was talking to a buddy of mine, Dave Miller, who works at MOCAN, and we were talking about NAIA level basketball, because I've got a nephew who's playing high school ball right now and thinking about college. And he was like, man, the NAIA level is so much better than maybe a lot of people realize, and how good the talent is and the quality of play. 2 years ago, a friend of mine, his stepson Miles Burns, was the MVP of the national championship, I believe, as his team won. He's playing in the G League now, by the way, for the Toronto Raptors. I mean, that's if you can maybe speak to just the quality, this is good basketball that people get to watch.
Yeah, really good basketball. So our basketball teams traditionally fare very well against Division II and even small Division I schools. So I think we had four or five wins in the month of November against Division I schools in the NAIA for basketball. So really good basketball. I will say, too, last year in this tournament, a guy by the name of Riley Menix played for Southeastern out of Florida. He just won the Ohio Valley Conference Player of the Year at Morehead State. So he spent his graduate year at a Division I school and was the Player of the Year. So it's a tremendous level of basketball. I always tell people, if you want to see guys that can high-flying, seven-footers, you know, 6'11", guys that can get up and go, we've got that. We've got guards that have, you know, great juice and getting up and down the floor, and we've got guys that can shoot lights out. So it's absolutely good basketball and very entertaining to watch.
Tickets start at just $20, and the action starts tomorrow. 15 games over the course of 5 days, which will culminate with the national championship game on Tuesday night. And so if you want to get tickets, go to NAIAHoops.com for more information and to get tickets. And we'll just wrap up. Austin, tell people why, if you're a basketball fan, and I've said this several times, if you coach a youth basketball team, get that team together and take them down to watch the NAIA championship. I did that with my daughter's team a couple of times, and they loved it. It's exciting. It's a great way to, you know, to help teach basketball, but most importantly, it's affordable. And it's a great way to have fun. And so tell people why they need to come down there to Municipal this week.
Yeah, so first and foremost, this is our national tournament. This is the best of the best in the NAI coming to Kansas City. And we've called Kansas City home for a long time. And so to support a collegiate association in your hometown is the first thing I'll say. The second is, I don't know where else you can go to see collegiate level, high level national championship basketball where kids 4 and under get in for free. You know, kids 5 to 12 years old get in for $6 a day. And high school kids with a student ID for $10, not to mention the adults for $20 to $25. So extremely affordable, extremely fun. And again, I think when you look at, when you think about kids, sure, they love the what they see on TV and things like that, and their allegiance is there. But when the kids come and see our players and have a chance to maybe interact or meet or get an autograph, that just makes their day. So if you want a really cool experience for a really affordable price, come support a local collegiate association here in Kansas City in our basketball tournament.
No, we'll be down there. I know my daughters are excited to come back and watch some more basketball, and so I'll see you down there at some point, and for sure for the national championship game. But, Austin, you guys do such a great job of putting the tournament on, and I encourage anyone that loves basketball to go down and watch this great action. Thanks for coming on the show, and hopefully it's going to be a great turnout for some awesome basketball action.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys, and thank you for your continued support of our tournament. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We love it.
It's awesome.
You know, you got to go Tuesday night for the national championship game.
I've been down there to the national championship game with you before.
Why don't you go Tuesday?
Well, maybe I will.
Watch me deliver the game ball.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I've won a game of horse at the...
A game of what?
Horse.
Oh.
Horse.
You're just going to just go right past me delivering the game ball, huh? I'm not important to you.
Look, you're like Andy Reid.
No, I'm
for
not
the
like
NAIA.
Anything.
I'm who's throwing out the first pitch opening day?
Andy Reid.
Who's giving the game ball at the national championship game?
Me.
So you're just like Andy Reid.
So what?
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, we both like chicken nuggies.
Excuse me. Hey, tell me a little bit more about those nuggies.
Did you guys see the graphic that the Royals put out? I don't know who did this, but whoever it is, I politely ask that you get a raise.
Sam Mellinger.
I don't think Sam does the graphic design for the Royals, but I mean, he deserves a raise.
Whatever he's making.
So,
he got Bo Jackson into the Hall of Fame.
Did he really?
I give him all the credit. Yeah.
Well, he pulled his strings. Otherwise. That's the truth.
I haven't heard anybody deny it.
So did you see what I'm talking about, the graphic they put out for Andy Reid?
Yeah.
Did you see what's in the corner of it?
No.
A hand reaching for chicken nuggies.
That's fantastic.
You see that? Look. It's his first pitch. It's him waving a towel.
Yeah.
And then him walking. Then in the corner, it's a hand reaching for a baseball surrounded by, it looks like, French fries and chicken nuggets.
He's doing his fingers are
look,
crawling
Jake,
across the table.
Right there, look.
Some of those nuggies.
That's a good graphic. Because you know? That's where he's getting the game ball.
Yeah.
You know,
it's right there between the nuggies and the fries.
That's right. We'll be right back after this on WHB.
Explain it again with those nuggies.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for listening to us chat with Mike Boddicker and Andrew Brandt. Brandt. Todd Lebo. Matt Derrick. And Austin Bennett, the NAIA Director of Championships. And yes, did you realize a regular season Major League Baseball game took place during the show in Korea? The Dodgers beat the Padres 5-2. And Shohei Ohtani got his first ribby as a Dodger. And so you've got real stats, people.
Well, this guy thinks he's Captain Knots. Thinks he's Captain Tying Knots.
Right.
And everyone needs some knots tied. They go to him. Bullshit. Bullshit. No way. No way.
No way.
What is this garbage?
Bunt. So, Dodgers beat the Padres 5-2.
Explain it again with those nuggies.
Andy Reid is going to throw out the first pitch at the Royals game at the opener a week from tomorrow. That's right. Baseball's back. That's it. Don't forget to go to 810WHB.com. Join that bracket contest.
Do it.
Match wits with Nate Bucati. If you dare, on Sports Radio 810 WHB.